listening to Not So Live from Asteroid G here on the beautiful island of Japan for some unknown reason. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
Your buddy Mike the Ghoul is here as well, channeling his inner Blofeld. Bit of a blowhard, though. This movie sucked.
Oh my God, it's so bad. So bad. I don't want to go in expecting the worst from James Bond. And we're actually... Sure. We'll get to this, but we're actually going to get to one of the ones that I think is better coming soon. But This is basically Sean Connery's quote-unquote first finale. He gets three, but You Only Live Twice was the first one where they expected him not to come back. He said during the filming of this was going to be his last adventure. He left the franchise. They had to go find someone else, George Lazenby. And then they didn't expect him to ever return. Then, of course, he returned two more times, but that's completely besides the point. We have to view this one in its own little context as a series finale for Sean Connery, and wow, it sucks.
I mean, you know, in like a lion, out like a lamb is like some of the thought of like winter or spring. I forget what season, but I mean, we started out pretty strong with James going through the first few movies. Like, there was some quirkiness and some weirdness in there.
It took some time, but it found itself with Goldfinger.
Yes, Goldfinger was good. You really were like, we felt like we were picking up some steam here. Yeah. You're figuring out the formula. And, like, I don't know if they were trying to do too much here, but, like, the whole space thing, like, you know, being in the late 60s, the space race and all that, like, we got to squeeze that into movies now. And the, you know, the misogyny screams hard in these movies too, but like the racism in this one was almost as bad as Dr. No.
Since you're starting to hint at this, let's go over the plot of this movie. This is for the last James Bond movie, basically Spectre trying to engineer a war between Russia and the United States for reasons.
Before
I can even get into the plot, the previous movie was Spectre, which was Thunderball, established that they were doing these things to make money. And yes, they're getting paid by some unknown third-party conspirators to make this war between the United States and Russia happen. And then some new power will rise up. Well, what are you getting paid in? Because if it's the American dollar or stocks or bonds or something, all of those are going to crash if you change the entirety of the world stage. Not to mention the fact that the United States and Russia get into a nuclear war. No one's surviving. So I don't even know what the hell the point is here. For a group that we assume is in it for the money, that's a really stupid plan.
You know, like, what got me through this, like, strange, thick plot is, like, I just visioned in myself Raul Julia just as M. Bison. Like, this Bison dollar would be worth 5 British pounds, like, kind of bullshit from Street Fighter. Like, I'm like, what are you getting paid in? IOUs? Gold bullion?
Right. Yeah.
Like, what is the monetary value of doing what you're doing besides, like, for the love of the game?
Well, like,
I can't understand.
This is the kind of plot where you clearly think that, like, Blofeld is basically Dr. Evil. Because Dr. Evil has an entire evil corporation that's making billions for him on the side. He comes back and he's like, let's do terrorism for no good reason whatsoever. And you're sitting there going, Blofeld, you own a volcanic military base. You have trillions of dollars in financing already. What are you doing?
It's the love of the game for my man here. And I guess I love Donald Pleasance. Like, I think he's great in a lot of movies. He's one of my favorite actors in The Great Escape, you know, with Steve McQueen. Like, I love that movie. I mean,
Halloween.
He was great as Dr. Loomis
in
all of the Halloweens. Like, you know, he brings it. And, like, he's trying as Blofeld, but it's just so bad.
It's underwritten
it's
for
so
him.
It's so bad.
It's underwritten. It
is. You see him, like, 100 minutes in before he turns around. You don't see him just petting his cat. I'm like, what? You underutilize my man here. Mm-hmm. And you gave him, like, you got a great actor here with just this, you know, sad role that I just didn't understand. Mm-hmm. It was weird.
The basic idea is that the United States launches a probe up into space, and it gets stolen, and they blame the Russians. And then the Russians put up a probe into space, and it gets stolen by the same ship, and they blame the United States. Which, why? Like, that's just...
It was literally the same thing happened to both world superpowers, right?
And you're like, are you like, well, I'm going to blame the other guy. No!
like we know you guys don't talk. Like this is the height of the Cold War and all that. But like, is nobody sharing information of like our spaceship got eaten by another one? Like, I mean, what's going on here?
Yeah, no. These thefts are both caused by Spectre, who take the ships to cause the war. And while the United States and Russia think the other person is in on it, Britain detects that the ships that have been stolen land in the Sea of Japan, which you would think if they can detect that, the United States and Russia could detect that, but they brush it off.
It's pretty close to Russia at the very least. You'd think
they know this, or blow it out of the sky for that matter. So the UK sends James Bond to Japan to investigate. Mm-hmm. And James Bond basically does a From Russia with Love. He gets in contact with the Japanese contacts over there. They do the whole mission for him, and then he gets to show up at the end and blow some shit up, and day is saved. That's the whole... Yeah, and that's the plot. It takes two hours for us to basically say, and then James Bond shows up and kills some shit in the last half an hour. It's terrible.
There was, like, you know, a sumo wrestling match that was like kind of cool, like you know, they tried to throw some culture in there, and then like, you know, you get the Japanese bath thing, like I could respect that, like the big guy in the center of the room and everybody, you know, they tried to make some things kind of true to culture, I suppose. But then, you know, when the guy looks at Jamie, he's like, in Japan men come first, women come second, I'm like, oh my god.
I know,
like, come on, man, that's so bad.
It's so bad. But it's also the thing of, if you laid this movie over top of From Russia with Love, you could almost, like, do one of those bas-relief rubbings where one lines up with the other. You take a Japanese guy who acts as his contact as a replacement for the Turkish guy who acts as his contact. Then you have the sumo match, which is kind of like the Romani dance that happened at one point. And then they just kind of faff around for a little while, not really doing much of anything, until suddenly, oh... we know where the bad guy's secret volcano base is. Let's go blow some shit up. And then it kind of becomes Dr. No instead of From Russia with Love. But it's really just mashing pieces of plots that didn't quite work together anyway. Because once we get to the volcano base, it all kind of falls apart there anyway. The Japanese contact he has, Mr. Tanaka, has this whole army of ninjas. Why the fuck is James Bond there? They were working just fine without him at that point. I mean,
he almost made it objectively worse, I think.
Yeah.
You know, they stopped ninjaing when he got there.
He keeps getting in the way. And all of this after they fake James Bond's death so that he won't have his enemies coming after him, which lasts all of 5 seconds, because the second he touches down in Japan, everyone figures out it's James Bond again. Like, what even was that?
I don't know. They dyed his hair this, like, really bad black and, like, tried to really pass him off as, like, Japanese. And I'm like,
oh, man, it was bad.
This is difficult to watch. And you start to feel really bad for the Bond girls here, too, because how many more of them just randomly die out of nowhere? Like, this isn't a theme, really, in later Bond movies. I've forgotten how many of these poor girls are just killed along the way as
killed
just, like,
off,
a body count. It's just wild.
Yeah.
Before we continue on, we do want to take a quick moment here to thank our sponsor for the week, Oscorp Industries. You didn't want to spend years in the lab, the library, the lecture hall to just watch the world stay the same. At Oscorp Industries, we believe the next generation of scientific breakthroughs shouldn't wait decades. They should start now. Our teams are pushing the boundaries of genetics, energy, advanced robotics, and advanced bioengineering, the kind of work most people only read about in journals or hear about on the news. And we're looking for bold new graduates ready to help us redefine what is possible. At Oscorp, you're going to get access to cutting-edge laboratories, proprietary research technology, opportunities to collaborate with top minds in experimental science, accelerated research programs, a competitive salary, relocation packages, and fast-track advancement. Our scientists don't just study the future, they build it. If you're the type of scientist who believes progress sometimes means taking risks, you might be exactly what you're looking for. So ask yourself, do you want a safe career or do you want to change the world? Oscorp Industries, tomorrow, today. Thank you, this week's sponsor.
So let's go over some notes. So Spectre has the technological capacity to not only launch a spacecraft, send it after a U.S. spacecraft, and use their craft to steal the U.S.'s craft, and do it all without anyone noticing ahead of time.
That's entirely believable that the two greatest world superpowers are being duped by a third party, you know, evil foundation that's being funded by someone else who we have no idea.
Like, and they have no radar or anything to figure out where this all is going from. Yeah.
Whatever.
And as I said, it starts with a James Bond cliffhanger fake-out death that we all know is not real. Anyway, if you were going in expecting this to be Sean Connery's last movie, maybe this would have faked you out if it didn't happen in the first, like, 20 minutes of the movie. I mean, that would be a bold strategy if they killed him off in the first 20 minutes of his quote-unquote last movie, and then George Lazenby just kind of strolls in as the new James Bond. Like, I would appreciate that. That's not what they were going for. And it's also really weird because we just did a fake-out death of James Bond in, remember, From Russia with Love. So
same movie, right? Like, and like, what craziness this was too. So like, all I pictured when, you know, the fake out the James Bond, you just said that, is like the Scream like title card, like cut to James Bond, and like there comes George Lazenby. Like,
yeah,
like
I could that would be great. Like,
funny shit with that. Play.
And then you start playing the title song for this, the You Only Live Twice, which has extra meaning if suddenly it's a new guy playing James Bond. I would kind of like that. That's what we get. We do get one of the better title songs, though. I do think, honestly, that kind of Asian riff they put in there, obviously they were trying to play up to the Japanese style, but I do think that song is iconic, and I really like that song. That. Yeah, definitely. They play that riff a few times throughout the song, and I'm like, well, this is kind of jazzy, and I kind of like that, if only the rest of the movie was better for it, you know?
Yeah. It's iconic, you know, we're really getting to those James Bond intros. Like they're starting to feel like a part of the movie now rather than a thing they just kind of threw in at the last minute, which is the way it felt in the beginning, why they weren't quite sure how to go about, you know, musically introducing everything. Just play his theme walking everywhere. But no, we got a thing now going.
What I find funny is that like James Bond lands in Japan after faking his death. And then the Japanese context figure out it's James immediately. Like, they're not informed by MI6 that he's showing up because they have to figure it out themselves. But they figure it out immediately. Spectre then spends an hour and a half not figuring out that James Bond is there, which I guess his death worked for them. But that also once again shows the sheer incompetence of Spectre.
Like the fake out too, like when he finally like they figure out, it said like, I thought you were dead, like they were, I thought you killed him, like they're all confused. Yeah. Like it was really bad,
bubbling around
really
like the Three Stooges as if they
very Benny Hill, like it was like, I don't even know, man. You guys, how are you so far ahead in the world of, like, you know, diabolical evil corporations, and you just can't figure it out?
Yeah, and it's like when Agent 11 tries to kill Bond by trapping him in plane and sending hurling to the ground. I noted that the green screen was awful, but it's also like they don't even know it's Bond when they try to kill him. They just think he's some random schmo.
He's just some guy there to like, you know, to buy chemicals or whatever.
And they're like, we must kill him for no reasons.
No witnesses. Like, for what?
No, he like, just wanted some chemicals, and he's a competitor, so you kill them. I'm pretty sure that's frowned upon, you know?
I would say. It's not exactly the way to go about, like, you know, negotiating either. Right? Because, like, people will stop wanting to deal with you, and how are you going to make your money?
You don't
everybody starts dying.
Yeah, you don't kill the contact. You just buy out the conglomerate. That's how these things work.
Hilarious.
There's a sequence later on with a mini plane. I thought the mini plane was kind of cool looking, but it's clearly
that
obvious.
Was neat.
Yeah. From the second that he gets into the cockpit and starts the plane, Sean Connery didn't spend 1 second in the actual mini plane.
Like, it was a really bad body double.
It was such an obvious body double.
You know, again, like it takes me back. Like I think I've mentioned this on our fake out body double things before, but the Michael Jordan commercial from McDonald's when his mom was going to do the dunk and it was like Larry Johnson doing it. Like you clearly saw it was not an old black woman. Like it's just like you got to do better, guys. Like, come on.
I remembered this movie being more racist than it is. And for a part of it, it wasn't too bad. He's a white guy, a gaijin in Japan, just kind of being there. But at least he knows the language and he's trying, and I appreciate that. And then they put him in yellow face, and all of that was thrown right out the window. I'm like, this is painful.
I mean, I they're trying to disguise him, I guess, and like, you know, it's not exactly yellow face if, you know, they do it for you and help you along, but
no,
I mean,
no. But and then they expect him to blend in even though he's speaking Japanese with a very thick Scottish brogue. Like, guys.
Tanaka-san.
Right.
Well, man, I was Aki-san. Come on.
You mentioned that the women here are disposable, which I agree with. Yeah. Bond is very much a lust 'em and leave 'em guy. Like, the girl that he's with, who clearly has fallen in love with him instantly, dies halfway in a poisoning that, to me, felt like it was right out of Gross Point Blank, which came, you know, like 30 years later. Yeah.
Oh my god, right?
Yeah, but it was. It was just like, drip the poison down the thread, and then he moves in his sleep, and she ends up getting the poison in her mouth, and dies instantly. And like, one scene later, he's like, dum-da-dum-da-dum, I don't care anymore, la-la-la. Then he goes off and gets married to some other chick who also he just makes fall in love with him, even though she's like, no, let's not do this. Like, God damn these movies.
I mean, Bond is one smooth operator, man. Like, somehow, you know, does he rape him or does he marry him? Like, I can't really tell. He does what he wants.
Yeah. And for part of that, he actually marries this girl. For real. They go through the whole ceremony and it's legal and everything, even though he puts out a fake name. And I'm like, but she knows it's fake and he knows it's fake. And he's clearly not Japanese, but they go through all of this to fool Spectre. And somehow, even Spectre eventually knows that someone is coming for them. So this plan that they did this whole elaborate sequence for makes no sense whatsoever. Like, a lot of this movie, it's padding for no reason.
It's throwing scenes in, it's padding runtime is what it felt like. Like, I am beyond bored at this point in the movie. Like, I'm just waiting for anything good to happen.
Anything interesting to happen. There's a good chase sequence that happens on the rooftop right beforehand that wasn't bad. But, like, that's a tiny sequence of a much longer movie that, And then after they get married, he's like, at her house, do you live here alone? And I'm just like, well, we were just married, so no.
Oh, boy. James.
Yeah, okay, James. Bond gets into the volcano base eventually by scaling down the wall where everyone is looking, and somehow no one sees him, because Spectre is incompetent, via suction cups on a concrete wall. If you've ever tried to put suction cups on a concrete wall, you understand that a concrete wall is porous.
It works perfectly.
It works perfectly.
Yeah, perfectly done. Like, you don't need a glass. You don't need a solid surface. There aren't holes in concrete. It works perfectly.
My note specifically was, I'm not certain the filmmakers understand how concrete works.
I know, right? Like, I wish my life was held together with whatever was holding James onto that wall, man.
Anything, sticky pads or something, but it's very clearly suction cups, and you're like, this is stupid.
And if they are sticky pads too, I really hope they clean that wall. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're gathering dirt, grime, and grit as you work your way down it, and you're going to fall and bust your ass at some point.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then finally, you know, he's in the base. Then he immediately gets captured by Spectre because for once they're not incompetent. Right. Blofeld's the only not incompetent one because he figures it out. And then he's easily able to escape them to open up the volcano base for the trained pack of ninjas there who are trained, as we noted, in the art of stealth. This is the exact quote. And then they do the least stealthy infiltration mission possible.
Yeah, like, let's say how much noise we can make, let them know everybody's here.
Here as, like, 50 guys descend on ropes right where they're looking, firing guns. And I'm like, ugh.
What ninjas use guns, man? Like,
these ninjas, they specifically say that. Ninjas trained in the use of gun. That was...
It was something. It was certainly something.
Yeah, like... Because there's so little substance to this movie, there's just not a lot to say about the plot. The plot is meaningless. Mm-hmm. The action is meaningless. Everything that happens is meaningless. And I just have to wonder what Roald Dahl, who wrote this, and the producers on this movie were even thinking.
I like Roald Dahl, too. Like, he wrote some, you know, fun children's books I read as a kid. And, like, when I saw that he wrote this, I was surprised, at the very least, that this movie was as bad as it was, you know?
Yep. No, this... I don't think I don't want to say that he phoned it in, like he was just doing this for the paycheck. But this
I don't
was
think
not
it was
his
that either. But
no.
Yeah, it wasn't his best effort and work though, for sure.
It indicates to me that he should have stuck to like doing children's books and things like that, and not venture into the realm of a James Bond movie, especially one where he felt comfortable enough throwing out the book and writing his own thing.
I mean, that's the thing, right? Like, you don't have to come up with something on your own. You have the source material. You just got to take that, translate it from page to screen, and make it a little bit better. And he didn't do any of that.
He didn't do any of it. He just kind of wandered off and wrote really bad James Bond fan fiction.
It's sure what it felt like. You know, maybe he has something for, you know, Asian women or something. I don't know. Like, it was just... I don't know. It was weird. At the end of the day, like, you know, Connery did the best he could, I guess. You know,
I don't
Donald
know.
Pleasance, Donald Pleasance was good with
Donald
what
Pleasance
he could do.
I felt like Connery was just kind of sleepwalking through the role. He didn't feel like Bond here. He felt like he was just Sean Connery just showing up for a paycheck.
He felt like a guy who got killed in the beginning and was kind of meandering his way back through the movie at the end, right? Like, I think he might be onto something.
Wandering around going, why am I still here? I died.
cue the John Travolta meme, like, walking around, like, you know, with his coat, like, where am I even going?
If anything, as a finale for the Connery era, which this is and isn't, this proves to me beyond a shadow of a doubt that we definitely needed him to leave the role.
I think so, yeah. From he had a couple good ones in there, but you could tell he's probably losing a little bit of interest here. He wants to do other things, you know. He's Sean Connery, so like he does many other things from Bond, but this does catapult his career in a way. So
it does. You know, it does.
He moves on.
So, since this is the last of the official Connery movies for his era, like at this point, after this, we go into the Lazenby era, which is one Lazenby and one Connery. But this is the Connery era. Of those, of the ranking, do you want to go first how you'd rank these five? I automatically know what our number one is going to be, but still.
It's going to be Goldfinger. It's going to be Goldfinger. It's 100% Goldfinger.
Spoilers for a not spoilery thing that everyone should be able to know by now.
Yeah, so let's see. I mean, all right, so Dr. No, I would say, you know, we're both correct. Goldfinger 100% is number the best one so far. And it's the third film, so that kind of makes sense.
You know, they figured it out. Yeah.
Yeah. I would say almost, I would think that like Dr. No might have been the second best. Like,
I kind of agree. It's really good, but that's because the three other movies are really terrible.
Yeah. Like from Russia with Love, like, I mean, there's just things they did in that movie that, you know, like with killing the sister in like 0.5 seconds, like it just didn't sit well with me. Thunderball was fine, but again, just fine. And you know, this movie sucked, so I would say that between my disappointments of Dr. No and From Russia with Love, I would say From Russia with Love disappointed more, so I put Dr. No at number two, From Russia with Love at number three.
I would probably say Goldfinger number one, Dr. No at number two. I put Thunderball at three, not because I think it's good, but just because I think it's better than either of the last two. And then I'd probably just rank From Russia with Love higher than this one, You Only Live Twice, only because this one is way more racist.
Right. I did find, like, you know, the Bond friend in From Russia with Love, like the Romani amusing guy.
Yeah.
As creepy as he was, like, you know, with the way he, like, I enjoyed him as a character, which is what I think ticks that movie up a little bit better than Thunderball for me. Personally.
He is more, like, his Turkish contact is definitely more interesting than Mr. Tanaka here, even though they're basically filling the exact same role. Exactly, and this movie does not have its heart in the right place about anything. I can even kind of laugh and shrug off the Romani scene, as bad as it is, even though they get called, and I hope we don't get demonetized here for not getting monetized at all, gypsies, because, you know, it's the Romani. But at least they were trying to show them, I feel like, in a good light. I don't think they showed Japan here in a good light at all, except maybe the sumo sequence.
Yeah, that was about it. Mm-hmm. You know, they lingered hard on that Romani camp dance scene and everything, and the whole plot behind that. They lingered a long time on that, but it was still, like, to your point, I felt they were trying to be more authentic to the culture than whatever this was.
Whatever this was. So I think this was probably the worst of the run. I think it's even the first one that actually underperformed in the whole series from the previous movies. Yeah. And you can see why. It's just not good.
Yeah, it's a sad movie. It's a bad movie. It kind of is what it is. You know, we'll get some good and we'll get some bad along the way. And this was a bad one.
Yep. So once we see the next Connery, we can rate that and actually even put the remake that we watched as well into the list yet. But we'll save that for when we actually finish Connery's era again.
Yeah. Yeah. But next up, we got On Her Majesty's Secret Service.
Yep, we will cover On Her Majesty's Secret Service on its own, because it's the only Lazenby movie, so it's both the start and end of his own particular era.
what an arc right there for this character.
Honestly, I think so. I mean, not to spoil anything, but it's one of my favorite Bond movies, and I feel like for a single movie, he actually figured out the role for himself really fast.
I'm anxious to watch this one again. It's been a while since I've particularly watched this one. Like, I've watched some of the, you know, Goldfinger and some of these other ones, you know, over the years. But it's been a while since I watched the Lazenby one. So I'm excited for this.
I know Lazenby's movie gets crap. A lot of Bond fans don't like it. Like, he left the role and they feel like it's different and it's its own thing. I feel like if he'd stuck around and played the role for another couple movies, people would probably like it better. Because it is this weird one-off. But I kind of liked it because it was a weird one-off. And I'm the weird guy that likes this movie.
We'll see. I'm intrigued now to see how I feel about it. So looking forward to that the next time we get together and chat about our buddy James.
Yeah. This was a disappointment, but we're gonna get better eventually. If nothing else, we'll eventually get to the Craig era, which is better than this crap. So
I mean, I'm a big fan of Daniel Craig, and I'm excited to get there. Eventually I thought Pierce Brosnan did all right. I remember I liking Timothy Dalton from back in the day. So we're getting to like where, you know, we were watching Bond specific, you know, growing up, that 80s period. Like we're almost done with the 60s.
We're almost there.
The 70s are a thing, but we're going to get there soon. So.
Yeah, I think if we want to speak about anything I'm dreading, it's the Roger Moore era. I am not a fan.
I skipped over all that.
I noticed. Conspicuously, I noticed that. Yeah, so yeah, that's going to be a thing. And he's got the longest run of all the films. So.
I know. Yay. Those might be like, you know, those might be 2 a week kind of things just so we can kind of hustle our way through to where it gets a little bit better.
Do the premiere, do 2 a week, and then do the finale and try and move on as fast as possible. Yeah, I agree with you on that. Oh, well, but we don't have to get there yet. For now, this has been Not So Live from Asteroid G, building our own underground volcano base where we can hide there and plot world domination. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
Your buddy, Mike the Ghoul, gonna head on over to the shelter to look for a new little kitty to petty. We'll see y'all next time.